would call me to be my name. Glad to see you. Thank you. I thought you'd be backslidden. And you proved me wrong today. First time I ever made a mistake. Yeah, better count this day. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. At the last time I was teaching Sunday school, I got a request to speak on tithing and giving, and giving as we do in the church. And I didn't get it done, so that was 3 months ago. So I don't know who sent it in. There was no name on it. So if you're here, I'm trying. But I didn't teach Sunday school for the last 2 months. So here's my Sunday school again. I'm just going to start off tonight, this morning, with a teaching on giving. I'm going to look at verse 6. 6 and 7, 8. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'll just read them. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this opportunity to gather together with believers and fellowship and rain and praise and our just joy in the great salvation you brought to us. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease and make my mind a ready mind and have us get blessed by what's in your word today. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the questions that I was asked, I left it at home. I had it ready, and I didn't put it in the car. Getting old. Now, you young ones do the same thing. The question was, do we owe God the tithe? That's the first question that they asked me. Do we owe God the tithe? And then it asked, well, what about giving in the church? And how should we give? And how is it done? And whatever. And so, back, I pulled this out when I came here. This is the financial policy. We've got all these scriptures and a lot more that you can read and see how God has talked about giving, whatever. And if you not just read the paper, if you read the scriptures, and I wrote all these down. I want you to read them. If I worked that hard, you could have been just freaking lazy. Amen? Or me. Anyway, financial policies, this little blue thing, and it's out there. I wasn't even sure there was still any of that. That's why I picked up this one and came in this morning. We've been all torn up and everything, but hey, things are happening. Isn't it wonderful? It's been such a blessing to me. I thought we were going to be $100,000 of paying that roof and ceiling and whatever. And they're telling me what could happen, but nobody's gotten hurt. Nobody got killed. Nobody, the roof didn't fall in on us. Well, we've been blessed. May I bless you all and something like that. And so things are just a little bit out of whack. They'll get back here in a month or two. But anyway, we still have them. There's plenty of them out there. And if you want to study it, well, just read the scriptures. Read the scriptures and see what God has to say. And I'm going to give you this today. Let's pray. Lord, we need your help as we do every day. We ask you, Lord, that we might teach plainly and clearly, and that people's concerns and questions would be answered. And that, Lord, you would bless us in all the ways that you do. And we thank you for all that you've done for us. And I just ask you to bless our study this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I believe this that I read to you is a clear example of New Testament giving. They're going to be tithing. I went to Sunday school and church with my parents from the time I was very small. By the time I got up to about 16 or 17, where I didn't go very often. And Girlene was very faithful. She got saved at about 16, and she was going to a church very faithful, so I started dating her. I would go with her. And we were married, and she wanted to go, and I went with her. But I really wasn't saved. I mean, I was a member of the church. When I got married, I said, she's a better Christian than I am. I just go to her church. And so I went. They baptized me and took me into the Southern Baptist Church right here in San Antonio. Curl Avenue Baptist Church, what it used to be called. I don't know what it is now. But anyway, I was a nurse. And I went along, and we were fairly regular because she was regular. And went to church. They wanted me to teach Sunday school because Burbank is pretty close. And I was a football player on the Burbank football team. And I didn't think my life lived up to enough to be teaching these kids, and these kids heard more about me than the people at the church did. And so I did not want to get up there and put myself up as a Sunday school teacher for these kids when I really wasn't living the way I had to live. And we went out to Ralph and I joined them first. Foolishly, Bernie and I were making $520 a month in 1955. That was a lot of money. I bought a brand new Buick and paid three payments a month on it to my daddy. Everything I had a checking account. Nobody gave me credit. He co-signed the note with me. And we paid that Buick out whenever I went into the service. I went in with a 1955 Buick. Wow. It was something else, and it was paid out. And my cleaner had a used Chevrolet, and it wasn't. So they thought I was this rich kid. I wasn't a rich kid. I was just a working kid. Now, you know how much money I made when I went to service, and I had one boy, Eddie. He was around. He was an everybody stinker then, as he is now. He's just a bigger stinker. We went to church. What? Oh, shut up, Johnny. What's a brother-in-law fair, you know? Go back to teasing your wife. But you can't, can you? No. His wife hated teasing. And she married the biggest tease west of the Mississippi. And suffered for it for nearly 60 years. Now, you be quiet. I got saved out there in Nashville. And when I got saved, I didn't get saved in the church. I was in the church, and it was a huge church, a Southern Baptist church. And they ran 500 in Sunday school. But they were revived. My daddy could hardly believe it when he found the churches that you don't know what you got here, son. You don't get many churches like this one. It was revived. People were getting saved all the time. Good preacher. Wow, things are just great. So I get saved in the night. I was burdened on a Sunday night. And I went in with him. He was in his baby bed. And I looked at him and I thought, my daddy didn't cuss. He didn't drink. He didn't lie in on my mother. He was a very faithful man, a godly man. And I cuss and write and smart. And I looked at that little boy, and I said, if I turned out to my dad like I am, and he turns out to me, that boy's going to be the devil himself. This is 2 o'clock in the morning. I burned. And it brought a conviction of sin. Well, I got in and started praying. I got saved, and I surrendered to preach the gospel. And somebody said, Mike, God doesn't come to ask people to do it. Well, he did me. I got up early in the morning, didn't get much sleep that night. I went to that preacher's house. He was 65 and I was 20. I woke him up. I said, I'm going to tell you, I got saved last night, and I sang to preach. And he said, praise the Lord, indeed. He was just happy as could be. And I said, what do I do? He said, get baptized. I said, I already been baptized, Christ. He said, baptism comes after salvation, boy. Not before. You get baptized and start tithing. I said, what's tithing? Never heard. Well, I probably did and didn't register it. He said, get baptized. I got baptized. Start tithing. I did not have a bank account. I was not 21. I was not a man yet. I was a lot of things I couldn't do back then that some of you guys can do easily me. But when the offering plate came by, they passed the plate, though. They didn't do just like we do. We don't even pass the plate. But when we passed the plate, I made $196.30 a month. Me, my wife, my one baby, that was all that was at first. Not a lot of money. I was used to hawking my suit. I had one good suit. And I used to hawk that at the end of each month for $10. And then pay $12.50 to get it back soon as I got paid, you know. So, I didn't have a whole lot of money. And I always, we would just always start at the end of the month. And then this preacher tried to drop 10% of my money into church. I said, okay. I just took a $20 bill out every month. I still didn't have a bank account or anything like that, no credit or anything. I just dropped $20 in my plate as it passed. They didn't know who it come from. They had no registry of it or anything like that. And that's what I did. I tied my income. I never had that suit again. I never had to hike the suit again. You know what I was doing? Going to everything the church had. And it was a lot of stuff. Had a ladies' meeting. Linda's sitting back there in the back, listening. They had something else. I'm there. They want some help or something. Man, every time I got money, it took up all my time. It didn't cost me much money. I didn't have to hike my suit. I started tithing. And you couldn't believe it. How could that bless you to where you wouldn't ever have to hack your suit again? But it did. It did because I got busy in the church with the family of God and learned some really good friends, and they started me out witnessing. The assistant pastor was a little older than me, 5 to 10 years, even like the senior pastor, 65 at the time. He took me around to all sorts of houses. And you know, I'm blunt, I'm plain, I'm forceful, and this guy was Mr. Smooth. Sometimes I walk up to a door and they won't even answer it. They look out at me through the window, you know. Every place we went, he could get in. And he would get me in and he'd say, tell him your story, Linda. And I'd witness to him. And they'd be praying and praying, and somebody gets saved and blubbering all over the place. We run a lot of people to the Lord. We had a really good combination. He could give us in, I could tell you story. And bless your heart, it was a wonderful thing. Now, as to tithing, most people think of it that it's by law that Jews are supposed to tithe to the tabernacle, to the temple, to the Levites, to all of the ministry of the thing. And it is in the law. But I want you to understand something. Tithing is in the Bible before the law. Abraham was a rich man. He had 318 trained soldiers in his employ. Can you imagine that? I guess you'd have to if you were rich then. Somebody would come over and jump you. You had to have soldiers. So he was a very, very rich man. Then his nephew Lot went down to Sodom. And while he was there at Sodom, 5 kings came and attacked Sodom. Well, they carried off men and women and wealth and cattle and everything like that. And they ran off. Well, somebody came to Abraham, and Abraham called his troops. Matthew 3 and 18, he called some other men with him that he knew, and they brought whatever men they could, and he went out and had a battle. 5 kings against 4 kings and whatever, and he was in line. And so it came down, and the man of Sodom, the king of Sodom, who was delivered by Abraham, told him, it's yours. All this stuff is yours. You got it because you saved my dad, you saved us, and whatever. Abraham said, no, I don't have any more serious. But a man named Melchizedek, priest of Salem, Jerusalem, that's Jerusalem, Salem, and this priest, Melchizedek, was a priest of the Most High God. Now, there was no Jewish crime, there was no Jewish law, there was no Jewish practices at this time. Here's this man, he's God's priest. Abraham did what? He tithes. He tithes all of the wealth he brought back. He said, it's all yours. He said, no, I won't take anything. Give it a tithe to back, isn't it? And he tithes before the Lord, and I don't know of any instruction prior to this in the scriptures that it is standing. Somebody must have instructed Abraham somewhere along the line that you have to pay a dog with the money. What do you need most? Most of it's money. Money can buy a lot of things. So, in the world we live in American society, covetousness is one of our biggest sins. We not only have a garage is so full they can't park the car in mine. You don't have room for a bicycle, do you? A trash can or something else like that. We've got all of these storage places going up all over town. How much junk is there that wouldn't be worth saving? But we're not right. We gather all this stuff to us, you know, we keep going. Abraham tied to Melchizedek before the Lord. He gave him 10% of all the stories of his military victory. He didn't take a series. They let the other kings that were living take what they wanted. So here's tithing. It's before the Lord. Well, we got another guy, a descendant of Abraham, fellow by the name of Jacob. Jacob has cheated his brother, really. Imagine for a pot of beans, I'd make you give up your birthright. Pot of beans. I raised on beans and cornbread. That's regular food. It's all like tortillas and beans and whatever in the Mexican culture. He is running away from his twin brother, who probably built a little different. I think probably was one big tough man. I think he grew up that way. I don't believe Jacob looked like him anywhere near it. But anyway, he's running away, and he runs away, and he has a vision. He's going to sleep, and he sleeps with a rock for a pillar. How many of your campers took rocks for pillars? I don't. I took pillars. But he's got this rock. And while he's on that rock, he gets a vision. His vision is God's blessing. And so he gets up, and you read that in Genesis 2. Just look at Jacob when he's running away from his son, going to Egypt. He said, if you will carry me safely over and safely back, you'll be my God, and I give you a tenth of all. What is that? That's a tenth. Tithe is 10th. Percentage given and a 10%. He said, I'll give you a 10th of all. So we have Abraham before the Lord. We have Jacob before the Lord tithing. Now then the law comes in. And here's Moses. Moses is giving the law that God gives him, and he teaches him all these things. The law is committed. If you read the first thing in the books of the Bible, you'll read do wrong. And he would tell you how the priest was to be, how the covenant was supposed to be, and how the sacrifices were, and what kind of garments they had on, and the fine things that they had. So the law made it your responsibility as a Jew was to tithe. Give one tenth. For the priesthood. The Levites didn't get any land. When they came in, the Levites didn't get the land. They were the servants to buy. And so, what was the income? What was the tithe? So the Lord had tithing. Now, think about that. Brought me to this chapter 9. Verse 6, this I say, this is prayer. He was first born, this where he first appears, friend. You know, one of the groups asked him a prayer, but what about sowing, what shall he also reap? That's an absolute law. That's gravity. That's as soon as gravity. There are exceptions to other things like that, and so some of you have been blessed by exceptions. I should have been blessed by exceptions. I didn't eat during the wicked things I did. But God forgave me. Now, what I mean souls is that works in the part of garden, doesn't it? What you sow is what you're going to eat. You don't sow watermelon and get corn. You don't sow corn and get beans. You don't wheat, and something else comes out. No. What you plant, the seeds you plant, they come up. This old pastor, 65 years old at that time, I became very thirsty. And he was telling a story one time. In his preaching, he was telling a story. He was standing fine, and his body told him to plant a certain field. And he wanted a good plant. And he was a teenager. And so he planted about half the field, and he was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And went over and dug a hole and just put the rest of the seed in the ground. Come back to his daddy and said, Daddy, I'm in that time. Okay. You finished the field? Yes. Finished now. Until harvesting. You were having to harvest? And he said, this is what you're planting. You can see this big pile that we dropped the seed in, and his daddy knew, and they didn't have anything, did they? They didn't get to gather in because a stupid kid, well, how stupid it is, but this stupid kid dropped all the seed in one spot instead of putting it out over a plowed field. You ever do something like that? Yes, you've done it. Don't tell me your story. I know it. I know you've done it. We are foolish. We sow things that we don't want to reap. We sow things, and people are out there doing it today, and some of you are doing it right now. And what you better do is wake up and understand God has a law as sure as gravity. What I mean, sirs, that's what he wants to reap. You better change your soul. I've seen some children, just one recently, not a monster. I mean a little monster. He cannot be still. He does not pay attention to his mother's words at all. And I told a couple of times, I said, you really going to have a problem when he gets to be 15 or 16. If you don't get control of this boy now, and they don't have control of it, and that means all the rest of us have to put up with this shenanigans, it's not just you. All the rest of us, when we go to the grocery store, we've got to put up with him running around 5 feet and pulling things down there from the wall and telling, come on, what you sow, you reap. Amen? Now, that blows. Successes to the rule. I see some good boys come out of the garbage dump. And I see some bad boys come out of a wonderful home. Understand? Now, there's exceptions in the house. being a percentage, if you're betting percentages, if you're betting on the laws of God, what you fire, you're going to reap. And it works in every area. It works in business. It works in financial things. But anyway, tithing must have been taught with the rest of it by the Lamb. Let me ask you something. If tithing was before the law, and it was incorporated in the law, and now the law jurisdiction is passed, the land of grace in Christ, is the tithe still in the land? I think it is. I think it is. Because it's not written brought in by Moses' law. Abraham tithed, Jacob tithed, the Jews tithed, and most of them didn't do the what they should have done tithing, and they left the Levites and the temple sometimes short. But anyway, tithing was before the law, was through the law. How do you still believe the tithe is the law? That is another thing. Do you think you're more blessed than the Jews? Without a question. I believe in saying no. I believe in law. Thou shalt not. But why? What did Jesus say? Thou shalt name the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, with everything that's in you. That's your life. You don't have to keep the Sabbath. Sabbath keeping won't do you any good. It won't save you, so. We're not here on the Sabbath, you know. A lot of people call this the Sabbath. It's not the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. This was the first day of the week. It's the day Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and that's when the disciples met together. The Remedial Beginnings come down to us as a tradition. Not a law, not in the way of law, but a tradition. And so we're used to it because we're basically a Christian nation in thought. May not be in our actions, but in thought, at least we are a Christian nation. So, how can you justify not giving the tithe to God when you've been so much more blessed than any Jew that ever lived? Are you more blessed?
Yes, sir.
I am. I think you are. Whatever you stingy got. That's what we called him when I was a kid, you know. You don't give me half of your candy bar, you're stingy got. I don't even know what it means. It just means you're a sorry kid. You're not generous, you know. You're not free. Is all your money just for you? What if God took your legs? What if God took your sight? When I was 50, I was blind. I'd be blinded by diabetes. And I didn't even know I had diabetes. And I was blinded. And so I went to a doctor and said, you got diabetes. And he got fast growing cataracts. So I'm in here with all these 80-year-olds getting cataracts removed. Because they're doing a lot more now. But anyway, what am I going to do if I lose my eyesight? I'm a teacher and I'm a preacher. Now my eyesight's important to me. Sometimes I look down right here to face. I can't see it right. It worries me. It scares me. I don't lose my eyesight, but some people do. Have you been more blessed? Just the gospel. Just the New Testament has so much more light. I love the Old Testament. I read it all the time. But let me tell you something. I have a whole lot more to read about Jesus than I read about the Tabernacle. Just, it's not my great interest. I had a revival meeting for a man in Baytown when I was a full-time evangelist. And he was a Baptist pastor in the place that I was preaching in. And I went by to eat with him one day. And his wife said, have you seen his garage? And I said, no. He hasn't taken me to his garage. She said, oh, you have to see his garage. Went into the garage and there was the tabernacle. Small scale. But he filled up the whole garage. He made every bit of it himself. He had the tabernacle with the colors of the badger skins and everything. He had the showbread. He had everything. And it was all put to scale down to small like you're building my airplane. That guy was interested in the tabernacle. He really was. And he had all the, I don't know how many years it took him to do that. I'm not even interested so much in the tabernacle. I'm interested in that great life of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he died for my sins, paid for them, and I didn't have to pay for them. The good news. What is the good news? You don't have to go to hell. You can believe in Jesus. He's paid your debt. If you'll believe in his Savior soul, then you won't go to hell. Wow! Can somebody hear a man again? I think you owe him yourself. I think you owe him much more than you can ever pay. And I would think that if you're so stingy, you can't give up a tithe to the Lord's work for somebody else to get saved or for somebody else to be fed or to the ones that are teaching you, if we give you spiritual things, what's the deal? The Bible says if we collect your financial things. You give them a little money. Every time you go to a movie, you give them a little money, don't you? Every time you get a big sack of popcorn, you give them a lot of money, don't you? I know the new popcorn was not rich. We had it all my life. We just shook it up in a pan, you know, and I had it, and it was a cheap thing to do. But boy, when you go into the movies, because I don't go to many movies, but I don't want to watch TV or to watch movies. I've got plenty of movies in my house. I buy them. I don't like them. I throw them away. But I don't. The screen's too big for me. It's too loud for me. And it's too pretty. So I'd rather watch my little TV. But anyway, why are we so stingy? Why are we so covetous? A little cannot give and still not be beat up by God. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're thinking? Now, if I've got to give, okay, I've got to give. How little can I give? You remember the story Starsky Hutch by the song Lord Ernest, right? They get saved from a killer. And one of them, I don't know, Starsky Hutch said, man, next time I see a herd of men, they're going to lay a fire on me. They just caught me. There's this preacher, you know, looking at the movie. They just caught me. That's all your soul's worth? Is that all your body's worth? Just to get not shot, it's only worth $5? You're cheap, man. You're just plain cheap. Let me tell you something. A whole lot of Christians are cheap. And I'm talking to some cheap ones today. Amen. Now, let me tell you. This is the givingest church I have ever been acquainted with. I've heard of others, but this little church put as many missionaries on the field as it had. Got to be some giving people. They couldn't look at all themselves. How much better would the work of the Lord be if all of God's people, at least 10, let's see, number 10, then 10 families could serve a party pastor. But not that way we're living. Let me tell you, the largest Protestant denomination, I think in the world, but at least in the United States, is the Southern Baptist Convention. Two-thirds or three-fourths of their pastors are working pastors. They're not full-time pastors. And some of the churches I pastored, they didn't pay me enough to pay for my gas that I used boosting, much less to give my tithe back to me. People are cheap. Some of you are generous. Now let's think a little bit about this. Would you have liked to have had, say, 500 stocks of Coca-Cola that was bought in 1900? Some of you don't believe God. You're a fine Christian. I know that, but you just can't trust God with your money. If you think the accrued interest and the rising rate of income and all that is the stock market, you realize everything is the stock market. Commodities, Sears Roebuck, Amazon, whatever. You can buy stock and you can, sometimes you can lose. People win and lose. In life, people win and lose, don't they? It's all a game. It's everybody. What about if you, for 50 years, put a car into the Lord's work? You think you'll lose? I don't think that's ever going to lose. I'm just a poor boy. I was just a poor boy. I was $20 a week, all I could have to give. In fact, I didn't think I could give that. Because he's broke going to the horse shop at the end of the week. But you know something? That's 61 years, Chris. And I came to the place where I said, if a Jew ought to give a 10% of his income to the Lord's work, why shouldn't a Christian be giving 20%? You cannot give God. Do you believe that? Do you think God's work done right? You've got to be in the right church because some places are just crazy. I don't know. But if you could put your money into a missionary, you could put your money into the gospel, you could put your money in gospel tracts, you could put your money in promoting the gospel somewhere and do it every month till the day you die. You think you're going to lose? Some of you think you lose. You think you lost when you put it in the plate, or when you came to church, or when you supported a missionary. You don't lose. You think Job lost? Now, Job lost 10 kids. First thing to say, that's, I never lost a kid. And I'm very thankful. I've been really, really blessed. Don't want to bury your children. You bury the old, right? You know, if I died today, I barely live past my time, probably. But do you think you can lose out by giving to God's work? Giving to God, not just to some famous preacher. You think you can lose that? I don't think so. I don't think if you give generously to the work of the Lord, it's going to come back way up there. Job must have a high place in heaven for what he went through here for the Lord. And he was faithful. What about those apostles and disciples? What about those missionaries that have gone out and they sacrificed their life? You think they're going to leave? They lost here. Yes, they lost here. Jim Elliot was killed when he was a young man. He lost him. His wife lost because she lost her husband. She went on to marry several others over the years and wrote a bunch of books. And by the way, pretty good book. Except she doesn't use the King James. You don't lose. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. And then, what about us? We go to a little church. A little church, about 30. 10 of them at their mission conference decide they want to be missionaries. They blew my mind. I never dreamed even one. I was trying to raise some money to spend all the money to stay right here for this church. Let's put some of it out to the gospel. And so, before the mission conference, I called up Joe West. He was doing it all over, and I thought he was one of the best. And so, then I invited a bunch of missionaries, and then I bought 50 books of missionary biographies. And we traded them all in. You just read it, bring it back, read it, bring it back, read it, bring it back. We got America. Man, that was a mission conference. It went well, and boy, something about these guys. Look what they've done. And tell him, what are we going to do? Well, the Clemens pastor with me then. What are we going to do? We prayed about it. Now, rightfully, I could have said, the pastor, you should support me. I should be for him. I prayed that prayer. Then my wife told me one time, I was a visitor, and I called her up. And I said, anybody in the hospital or something, any place I need to go in? She said, you got to come home because you're broke. You owe $3,000 you cannot pay. I said, what? She kept the roots. I never did keep the roots. Except just a month or two at a time. When she was tired of it. I owe $3,000. I went to send a man, borrowed $2,000, went to my father and mine, borrowed $1,000. I went and paid my bill the next day, paid my rent. And I told her, type me up 10 resumes and I'm going back to work. What type of a faith they had me as a teacher in San Antonio School District and created six classes for me. They don't do that. And one day I'm sitting at my desk and I got six different preparations. Didn't get even two of one preparation. I'm typing at my desk, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I said, bang, hit that desk. And I said, I don't have to do this. And a little voice in the back of my head said, oh, yes, you do. Okay, sir. All right. Ready to go. I got these 10 guys on a boy to Israel. We've taken the name Baptist off. We just got Jesus. Do you know how many people that were cut out of your fellowship? I knew what I was doing when I did it. I knew I would stop 50,000 opportunities for me to preach. Absolutely. How are we going to support missionaries? Designated giving. We don't pass a plate. Very seldom do I preach on money. Somebody asked me to do this. Baby, amen. We'll let you designate your money to any one of these guys that goes on. You can give it to a pastor. You can give it all to me. That'd be nice. You can give it all to Bill. You see, he can't even afford, a haircut. He's like me. That's a good man. Have you seen what's happened in the last 20, 25 years? People without an education, but they have a gift. Because of a little bitty church of 30 people, and you arrived to give where you want to give it. Now, the question is asking, how about giving? What do you do? All persons today, we have a I supported my own family missionaries more. Some of you could just give your money and say, divided it among all the missionaries that are supported by this church. And that's fine, we'll do it. We got people working on these books. It's a job. They do it. And thank God for them. Now, how do we know? When do we send them? When they got enough money in their bank right here that's been given to them to make the trip, to get them in a rental, and to last them a month. You think about going out by faith. The missionaries that went out of this place went by faith. I thank God for them. What a wonderful thing. And best thing is, we got missionaries right in here today that have been 30 years. Why? Brent's been 30, I think, years. Billy was 31 years. And some of them, 3, 4, 5, 10, whatever. God blessed it. You say, well, what should I do? Well, what it says, every man, as it was verse 7 of chapter 8, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. Wow. That's not a five. I don't even think of this as far as what I think the tag runs from here. But I don't even think about giving my tag all the time. I always think about what I purpose in my heart, and I want to make sure it's generous. You know what it says? God loveth a cheerful giver. So now, if you're mad and angry right now, you ain't going to learn the side of God because I've been pitching on money, then you ought to be thinking, hey, there, I'd like to get in on that. Hey, it's better than Coca-Cola in 1900. It's better than Amazon. The guy's got billions. He's got a wife that's got a divorce of 80 billion. Or she'll be. I'm going to bet you people never dated. She's worth 80 billion. Or maybe more. Let me tell you something. You never lose when you do for God. Whatever you do for God, if you give a cup of clear water to a thirsty soul, God says you will not lose your reward. But if you don't believe God, and you believe a lot of other things, and you're so stinking covetous that you can't turn loose of it, you're going to lose. Imagine, you may be able to buy more trinkets than I can, but you're going to lose there. Where a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now I want you to look back with me. I didn't get near what I wanted to get done, but I want to show you something. Look at Genesis 32. All of you look at it. You've seen it before. This old Jacob. He's coming back to face himself. He knows he comes in at Esau, and Esau's got 400 men with him. Jacob said in verse 9, Jacob said, oh God, look at verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou showed unto thy servant. I think that's a tremendous prayer. I have high praise for Jacob because of this prayer. This man got an honest appraisal, and he said, I am not worthy of all the truth. How about that? Are you worthy of the truth that you know? You've got a Bible in your hands. You've got the New Testament in your hands. You've got the gospel coming out your ears. You've got God's answering prayer. All of the blessings God has saved you from all sorts of things. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. Why don't you tell the Lord that sometime? I'm not worthy of all you've done for me. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which I have showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I'm become two bones. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Verse 6. What's he saying? He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, I love this. Look at the freedom right here. Every man, not according to the law, according as he purposeth in his heart, you can give to God whatever you want to give. May it be much older. As his purpose is in his heart. Isn't that wonderful? Not grudgingly, not of necessity. God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. If you feel led to give your money or to one missionary 1 month, that's fine. If you feel led to support a man, that's fine. If you feel led to support the pastors, that's fine. If you don't feel led to support them, but you want your money going in some other gospel thing, let it go as you purpose in your heart, but give by faith, trusting God not to let you down. You can't read it. All these verses and a lot more. It's just out there on the road. I found them this morning. I found them. God bless you.